You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Salt has got to be salty, or it isn't salt. Pure sodium chloride has one property. It salts.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, thanks for your forgiveness and life. Make us salt with flavor and savor to help our world from going to pot. Make us light that we may light up the world with your grace and do the works that glorify you rather than ourselves. In the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior, we pray. Amen. Our earth needs salt, and our world needs light. We've had enough ciphers, and now we need salt. We've had enough darkness, and now we need light. If those qualities are not found in Christ's people, where in the world will you find them? The story is told of a physician in the last century who was injured in an accident and was left lying in the gutter. He had not been a particular credit to his profession, and he looked like one of the outcasts of society. Brought to a nearby hospital by some compassionate passerby, at last he received the services of two other doctors. Said the one to the other, in the language which physicians learned in those days, "What shall we do with this worthless wretch?" Semi-conscious, the doctor lying on the table answered back in faultless Latin, "Call him not worthless, for whom Christ died." That's salt. It's got bite in it and flavor and savor. It has the flavor and the savor of the cross of Jesus Christ. His cross is the symbol of a world's redemption by God himself. It extends upward, and its hands reach out to embrace everyone. It is the salt of God poured on the putrefaction of the world. It is the love of God, who is not willing that anyone should perish, but that everyone should turn from his way and live. It is the power of God overcoming sin, which otherwise cannot be overcome. It is the forgiveness of God blotting out transgression, which cannot otherwise be blotted out. It is the life of God poured out in the blood of his Son to his men, his people, who came to know him as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Christ said, "You are the salt of the earth." That sodium chloride he's talking about, it seasons things and it keeps things from spoiling. It may be plain old salt, but it really works because it's real salt. "You are the salt of the earth," said Christ. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Our Lord was talking about salt that really salts. It doesn't just look like salt. It acts like salt. It tastes like salt. It works like salt. It is salt. Jesus Christ expected his people to put real zest and zing into life. Salt spices food. So it is with those who follow Christ. Really follow him. They make life saucy and spicy and tasty, full of zip and zest and zing and joy for everyone and also for themselves. Life in Christ is anything but dull and boring. It's lively and happy in the best sense of that word. It adds something to life, the taste of the goodness of the Lord. Salt makes food more palatable. People who know Jesus Christ make life more palatable. There are always people around whom you can't stand, who really turn you off. If there were no possibility, either for you or for them, to change, life would be, as it is for many people today, one big chore of running away. The life Christ gives, with its forgiveness, love, kindness, consideration, patience, and self-control, makes all of life more bearable, not only for the person who has it, but for everyone with whom he comes into contact. He or she pours out compassion in a most uncompassionate world. You are salt, said Christ to his people. Act like salt. The chief purpose of salt in our Lord's day was to keep food from spoiling. It was the ancient equivalent of the modern refrigerator. That's what he wants his people to be. Modern refrigerators. Only thing about these refrigerators is that they are not cold, but hot, blazing with faith and love. The fact is that gas refrigerators and also electric refrigerators work that way. They give off heat on the outside to keep the food from spoiling inside. When you feel the heat outside, you know the thing is working inside. Our world needs that salt, that power to keep things from spoiling. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah, with wickedness all over the place. People not only engage in everything that offends God, they even delight in it. It gives them a sense of power to do their own thing. All the while, their own thing is doing everything to destroy them. Lovelessness breeds lovelessness. Disregard for God produces the inhumanity which is characteristic of our inhuman world. Murder has become commonplace, and the hatred that produces murder almost an accepted fact of life. One might almost think that this is the way things have to be. Not so. There's another way. It is his way. The way of Jesus Christ is quite simply the way of love. It is his way. It looks like weakness, I know, and our Lord knew it too. Still, he went that way for every one of us. He expects his people to go that way for him. In reality, it's the way of strength. Love is the only power that can change our world. It does things that nothing else can do. It comes from God and from him alone. It comes from a human heart that has been touched with the love of God and made new by his power. St. Paul said, it's not so much that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be a substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. Now, if God would do something like this for us, we ought also to love one another. Christ said, you are the salt of the earth. If the earth is not to go up in smoke, as did Sodom and Gomorrah, because not even 10 righteous people could be found in those cities, who is to say that it will not happen again today? Preservation of our world depends upon people who have learned what this means. You are the salt of the earth. Salt has got to be salty, or it isn't salt. You can have something that dribbles off into nothing and call it salt just because it happens to look like salt. Pure sodium chloride, however, has one property. It salts. It isn't enough to be a plastic Christian. You've got to be a real one with real faith and real love. That's what it takes to be salt, the salt of the earth. One grain of salt doesn't do it alone. You need at least a pinch of it for some things, a whole teaspoonful for other things. People who call themselves Christians are quick to recognize real salt when they see it. They appreciate it. They help one another be salt, which is not good for nothing, and fit only to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. I get a lot of letters from people who encourage me with their own witness to their own faith in their Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of them have troubles about which they write. They tell me how much Christ has meant to them in their extremity and how he has carried them through. I appreciate those letters, seasoned with salt, as St. Paul described the witness of a real person with real faith in the real Savior of our real world. You can taste the salt. You can see the light. You are not only salt, said Christ in his Sermon on the Mount. You are also light. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Light is seen, or it is nothing at all. Light is a very positive thing. Darkness is negative. Light is positive. It's in the darkness that things happen people cannot see or do not want to be seen. When the dawn comes, the darkness is dispelled, When the light is lighted, the whole house lights up. A whole bunch of houses is lighted up, and it becomes a city of light, like a city up on a hill which cannot be hid. There's no blackout here. People live their lives out in the open, bravely, not afraid of the light themselves, and not afraid to let their light be seen. In the light, you see things as they are. If they are drab, they will look drab in the light. Light deglamorizes the stuff, which in darkness may look romantic. Don't let that bother you. Some things need to be deglamorized. The sin of our world has nothing glamorous about it. People who have tried that route will tell you all about it. Trying to cover it up won't work. It only makes things worse. Without light, people are easily fooled. In the light, the pretty face turns out to have hard lips. And those hard lips tell of a hard heart within. It takes the light to see that. And it takes the light to change it. The light of Christ is not a cold, hard glare. It is warm and energizing like the light of the sun. It goes into the nooks and crannies to let you see yourself as you are. It pours in its power to make things bloom and grow again, as the light of the sun enables trees to grow on the hardest crags. So the light of Christ brings warmth again to the hardest hearts. I believe this. I've seen it happen. The light of Christ brought a really hard man around that day on the Damascus Road. It took that man and turned his life upside down. He was critical, censorious, and contemptuous of others. The light of Christ just turned him around. He was the one who came out to say of his own personal experience with Christ, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." That's the light of Christ. And that's the way it works. You can see it in him. It comes from him. It comes to people like us, like you and me, from him. It is the light of faith. Faith in him. That's what it takes to live. Faith in Jesus Christ, that he is God's Son, that he did die for your sins and mine, that he was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, and that he is Lord. It takes faith to believe in him. Faith is confidence in him, trust in him, and willingness to go with him all the way, as he has gone all the way for each one of us. That's light. It's the light of faith that accepts the forgiveness of God promised to the whole world in Jesus Christ. It's faith that sees God as a true Father, loving so much that he gave his only Son. Faith that works in its own way by love. Faith that is light, real light, the light of the world. "You are salt," said Christ to his people. "You are light." People do not light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light to all that are in the house. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." What is it that draws people to the light? It's the magnetic quality of Jesus Christ. He draws people to himself, not to destroy them, but to save them. Christ wants to save you. He wants to save you from yourself and from all the forces that are at work to destroy you. He wants to save you from your sins, your disposition to go your own way, your blurred vision and your hard heart, and the pride that goes before the fall. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The light of Christ lets you see yourself as you are, and it lets you see God as he is. It gives life, real life, with the real stuff that God puts into life. The real stuff includes an important ingredient: humility. That's not bad. It's good. It makes you a real man and a real woman again. It shows that you are mature and not an overgrown adolescent. It makes real people even of adolescence. It's good for everybody, young and old. You are the light of the world. Let people see the light that is in you. The good works that you do for the sake of Jesus Christ glorify not yourself nor the organization to which you belong. They glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's light. As people see God in you. Light comes in all colors and all sizes. Some lights have only 40 watts and others have 500. The important thing is that no matter how dim the bulb may be, it gives light. Pure light needs power from up on high. And Christ's men knew that power. They let us know about it in God's word. Do everything, one of them said, without grumbling and disputings, as children of God in the world, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, shining as lights in the world, and holding forth the word of truth. Christ expects his people to help out where it's needed. Christ expects his people to be salt where it's needed, and light where it's needed. You can't say no to him. My friend, let the Spirit of God empower you to say yes to him. Christ says to you, with all the authority of his Father who loves you, and with all the expectation of faith he gives you, you, my friend, are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Amen.